that many in the neighboring communities around us have not had a great week, and they've experienced some historic flooding. And, you know, we've talked about that a little bit here this morning already, and you've probably seen a lot of pictures, a lot of videos out there of the surrounding area. You know, you look at Cambridge City, Connersville, Laurel, Metamora, I think Greens Fork. There's a list of places that are affected by these floods. And I guess I want to ask, how many of you would say, I want to help, but I don't know how? I really want to help, but I don't know how. Well, this morning, before we really get into the message, I feel like we have to bring this up. We're the church, and this is an opportunity for us to reach into the communities around us. So I want to give you some practical ways that you can help right here in our area. So number one, you can pray. That's the most important thing. You can pray for the families that are affected, and pray for the kids that don't have their homes anymore right now. I mean, think about it. Think about this for a second. Picture your living room and water being up to about chest high in your living room, and everything in your house is destroyed. That's what a lot of people are experiencing in Connersville and in other areas. And so we can pray for them. Number two, we can help in person, okay? I called a few people yesterday. I have a friend over in Connersville. His name's Andy Boger. And when I called him, he was in the middle of actually helping some families move things out of their houses. And he had partnered, there's a disaster organization, disaster relief organization that came into Connersville called the Cajun Navy. And so they actually set up a base station, a tent at the soccer field. And so he said that if you want to help in person, I asked him, I was like, what do you need right now? He said, we need hands. We need hands. He's like, there's not enough people to get the stuff out of the houses to help these families. And they're asking for people with heavy machinery to come and help move things. So he said the best way in Connersville specifically was to go to the tent at the soccer field and to register and get on a team with the Cajun Navy if you want to help in person. There's other disaster relief programs or organizations in other areas. I'm certain of that. In Laurel and in Metamora, I know there's another one that's over there helping out. But if you are able and you feel like I want to help in person, I'm telling you there's opportunity. And then the last thing I'll say is you can donate. I talked to Julie on the phone, Julie Jolliffe, and the library is accepting donations. And in fact, Elizabeth gave me this. There's a list, and I can give this to anybody else, but they're looking for, in Connersville specifically, food, cleaning supplies, work gloves, laundry detergent, totes, buckets, mops, all of that they're taking at the expo hall. And then there's other ways you can donate or give. I have that listed here. And come up and see me after service, and I'll plug you in on that. So there's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This has nothing to do with my sermon. I promise I will go fairly quickly through my sermon. But this is important. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, okay, listen to me. The one thing you can't do is nothing, okay? We cannot do nothing. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to show up and be the hands and feet in the community around us. We're talking about this is a really big disaster. And a lot of us haven't seen it in person yet, but it is really serious. So all I'm saying is we need to do something. So if you're with me and say, I'm going to do something, right? Okay. So let's pray. Then we're going to get into the word. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, but let's pray, and then we'll actually get into the message. So God, We thank you for the opportunity to be here in this dry building. Lord, we pray for those that have been affected by the flood. Lord, we pray that you would help them, resource them, help us to find opportunities to help them in these areas around us. We pray that this morning we would hear from you, that you would give us spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear what you have to say to us. We pray that, like the book of James says, that we receive with meekness your engrafted word, and that we leave this place being doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're talking about prayer, and I want to start with a question. How many of you would say you believe in the power of prayer? Right? Okay. And then another question, even though we believe in the power of prayer, would you admit that maybe you don't pray often enough? I would admit that. And maybe even some of you would say, hey, I believe and I pray, but my prayers don't seem to work. So today, I want us to pause and really take a look at the way Jesus lived. We talked about this a little bit when I preached about the yoke there in Matthew 28. We're not going to look just at the words that Jesus taught, but the way Jesus lived. You can find in Scripture, if there was a constant in Jesus' life, no matter where he was or what he was doing, he was constantly praying, and he constantly sought the Father in prayer. He prioritized prayer. And when I look in Scripture at the life Jesus lived, I want to love like Jesus loved, and I want to live like Jesus lived. So if I want that, if we want what Jesus had, then we should pray like Jesus prayed. And many of us, we don't. We don't pray like Jesus prayed. And it's really kind of perplexing if we think about it, because I've tried to pause and ask myself, okay, why do we struggle to pray as a church? Like, not just Hannah's Creek, the church. Why do we struggle to pray consistently and effectively? And I think there's, based on what I've looked into and my experience, I think there's three really big reasons why we might not pray consistently and effectively. And number one is we lack focus. I understand this because I have ADHD, and I can kind of hop from thing to thing. And maybe you're like me, you can be praying, and then suddenly something pops in your mind, something on your to-do list, and then my mind wanders to anything and everything that has nothing to do with what I was praying about. And I get distracted. I don't know if that happens to anyone else, maybe just me. You guys are more spiritual than I am. But my mind can wander. And maybe, have you ever tried, okay, here's a big admission. Have you ever tried to get up early and pray, and you're sitting in a chair or, you know, on the couch, and you're trying to pray, and you fall asleep? Okay, that's happened to me. And sometimes we just lack focus sometimes, okay? That's number one. Another reason why we fail to pray consistently and effectively is we lack confidence. Maybe we aren't sure we're praying correctly, or you've been around others that pray out loud and maybe think, wow, they pray, they're like a professional prayer. They could be sponsored by, like, who knows? Yeah. And we hear someone else pray, and we compare ourselves, and we can lose some confidence in our own ability to pray. And I remember growing up in the church and youth group, our youth leader would randomly ask someone to pray at the end of youth group, and that would always send me, like, I would be panicking. So sometimes we lack focus, sometimes we lack confidence, and then probably most importantly, sometimes we lack faith. We're not sure that God will do it, or we believe that God can do it. We believe that God has the capability and the power to do what we're asking him to do, but it doesn't seem like God is going to do it for me. So we wonder, does he hear my prayers? Am I making sense? Is everybody understanding where I'm going here? Okay. We ask, does he care? And I think sometimes if you look, you can sometimes make a pretty strong argument that maybe, you know, I could argue really strongly that, well, no, God didn't care about that because I tried to pray about it and he didn't do what I asked him to do. And you probably have your own version of that story in your own life, maybe in something that you've prayed about. So this morning, I really want to examine what prayer is and how and when Jesus prayed. So I actually have a different point I'm going to pull or have her pull up first, and then we'll get to that other slide. But prayer isn't just an action you do. Prayer is a way that you live. Prayer isn't just an action. It is an action. It's not just an action you do. It's a way of life. It's a way that you live. Look how Jesus prioritized prayer. When did he pray? If we look, he prioritized the presence of God. Several times in the Gospels, it's recorded that he would go to a solitary place or to a mountainside. He would get away from the crowds and the busyness of life, and he would go alone and pray. So when did Jesus pray? So I'm going to pull this slide up now. And okay, this is the list in the Gospels of when Jesus prayed. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee. He prayed after healing people, all night before choosing his disciples. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of these. And this is a list of what's listed in the Gospels. Prayer wasn't something that Jesus occasionally did. It was the way he lived. And, you know, I'm sure there's other times in Jesus' life that he prayed. I think it says in Luke that there's things that weren't recorded that the disciples didn't record that happened in Jesus' life. And these are, you know, looking at this list, that's pretty exhaustive during his lifespan here on earth. So I think all of us, we've talked a lot about busyness and rest and different things over the last couple of months. And I think all of us have a lot of pressure in our lives in our own way. We have our schedules, we have kids, we have different things going on, our jobs, places we volunteer and places that we are involved in. And it feels like I don't have time to pray. I've got too much going on. I've got so much to do. I do not have time to pray. And I would argue you don't have time not to pray, because there may be nothing more productive than the time that you spend seeking the heart of God and inviting his power, his presence, his strength to be with you. When we take a moment and we pause and we separate ourselves from the life that we're living and try to align with the heart of God, what could be more productive? When we're aligning our lives, the will that we have, the will that God has for our lives, when we're seeking that. And life is hard. Life is difficult. And we need God every step of the way. And as believers, it's almost impossible to be effective without prayer. I would say it is impossible. And, you know, in life we have complicated decisions. We have things that happen. We need God's presence. And to be effective in this world, we have to disconnect from the world. I'm going to read that again because I didn't say it well. I have it written better than I said it. To be effective in this world, we have to disconnect from it. Disconnecting from what doesn't last to connect to the one who does. So now, finally, let's go to Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 6. This is the NIV. Let's examine how Jesus teaches us to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 6, he says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." The first thing I notice in this verse is there's something implied. Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So when you pray, you need to get alone and block out the noise, eliminate distractions, put your phone aside, block out Facebook, Instagram, emails, text messages, all of the distractions that life offers us. There's many. We need to get alone with God. And I'm going to address this concept of praying continually as well, but it's important that we become in the habit of setting aside time to be with God and pray on a regular basis. So I want to read this verse again, but from the Message translation. It says, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace." I love that. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. So, okay, I'm going to talk to the parents for a second, because finding a secluded place in my house, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, that's pretty hard. That's pretty challenging. Maybe you're like me and you feel like there isn't a quiet or secluded place in your life ever. And you can't even go, to the mailbox without one of your kids following you to the mailbox. As seasons of life change, the place that we pray might change. The place that we set aside, that we know, okay, I am on my own in this area, that season of life is going to help us understand, okay, we might change that place. 10 years ago, it wasn't very challenging for me to find solitude in my life. Now, life's a little different. And now, the place that I have solitude the most is my car. I don't know if anyone else, that's like the only place in my life where there's not a bunch of noise and there's not a bunch of stuff going on. And that's okay. That's okay. Jesus says, go to the closet and pray. The Message translation says, go to a secluded place. What's being said here is find your closet. Find your place that you can connect with God individually. And we need to find this place, because if we do this, then it becomes a practice and it's not random. It's not a random thing in our week and in our life if we have a specific setting. So then the question is, okay, so what should I be praying about? I would say pray about what you care about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." And when the Bible uses exhaustive words like everything, it literally means you can pray about anything. Whatever you care about, bring it to God, because he cares for you. And that's another verse that I could bring up. But whatever is on your mind, God wants you to bring it to him. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Talk to God like he's a close friend, because he is. He's a close friend and he's with us every day. So why is it that we struggle to pray on a regular and in an effective way. I think one of the reasons is that we tend to compartmentalize our lives. So I have this plate, and I have a sick kid at home, so Miranda's home with the kids, and I was leaving, and I grabbed this plate, and Henry said, "Are you having a snack?" But we have these plates because, kids do not like their food to touch each other, right? If the peas touch the macaroni, it's game over. So we have these plates, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can tend to live our lives in this same way where we don't let other areas of our life touch each other. And, we have our professional life, we have our hobbies, we have our friendships, our relationship with God. We have all of these compartments, these boxes, and we don't tend to let them overlap. But God doesn't want to just be a compartment in our lives. He doesn't want to just be part of our life. He doesn't desire for you to set aside 5 minutes and that be it. Yes, building this practice of praying daily or in a regular place is important, but God never leaves us. As we leave that moment of prayer, God's still right there beside us. He is not just part of our life, He is our life, and He never leaves us. So I don't miss this. This is huge. Like, God is with you wherever you go. And this is almost like a Christmas sermon, I'm going to say, on this line. But like, that's why Jesus was called Emmanuel. It's literally translated God with us. Like, Jesus was called Emmanuel. And if we look back at our lives, He's been with you wherever you've been. He's with you today. Here, He's here with us right now, and He's with you wherever you go. He's with you as you leave these doors today. When we conclude service, He's going to be right there with you. And Scripture tells us in Psalm 46, it says that He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Prayer isn't an action, isn't just an action you do. It's a way you live. And there's this passage that Dorothy referenced this morning, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." If you look at other translations, New Living Translation says, "Never stop praying." NIV says, "Pray continually." And then King James Version and ESV also say, "Pray without ceasing." So prayer, yes, we want to set aside time to pray, but we have the ability, because of what Jesus has done, we have the ability and really the privilege of being able to pray wherever and whenever, all the time. Because God is a part of every aspect of our lives. Prayer is living in God's presence, and it's breathing in, understanding God's grace is with us everywhere that we go. And there are moments that in my life I can reflect where I've heard, when I've prayed and I've done this, where I've had a time where I'm setting aside and I'm really being disciplined with that moment, where I've heard God speak to me. But then even, it's so interesting, as I go through life in these little tiny pockets of prayer, as I'm maybe in the kitchen or I'm on the road, wherever I am, God speaks in those moments too. So don't discount praying just for a moment as you're living life. Prayer, okay, this is another thing. I'm kind of jumping from thing to thing, but listen, prayer isn't just getting God to do what we want. It's aligning our will to His. It's aligning to what God's will is for our life. So There's another passage, and I don't know if I have it on the slides here, but in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 15, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." I love that. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Remember last week we talked about renewing your mind and discovering, proving the will of God? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Prayer is not just an action we do, it's a way that we live. A couple more passages I just want to reference this morning as we close this out. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." We have the name of Jesus that we can call upon, and that we have the ability to pray to God through Jesus' name. There's no other name under heaven that we can reach the Father. And that's important as we consider how we pray. That is critical, that Jesus, we understand that Jesus is how we approach the Father. And then as we think about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16, or 14 through 16, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Then verse 16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus understands what you're going through here on earth. As you live life, Jesus walked the earth. He was a human. He was a person here on earth. He can empathize with your weaknesses and what you're going through in life. And we have the ability to approach the throne of God through his name because of what Jesus did and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins and for us to live a life that is in alignment with what God has for us. So this morning, as we consider prayer, I pray that we, as we go through this week, that we reflect and we find ways that we can pray continually, and then that we find a place that is where we pray on a regular, recurring basis. So this morning we're gonna close with communion. I'm gonna have Don and Rod, if you guys would come up. And we're going to close with communion. But this morning, as you reflect, I pray that you would, hear from God this morning, that God would speak to you right where you are, whatever you're going through, whatever maybe you've stopped praying for, that maybe God is speaking to you to reconnect with him this morning, to pray again. If you've stopped praying, if you've stopped seeking him, that this morning becomes a turning page where you turn back to him and you pray and you reconnect with him this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll have communion. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would guide us in our lives, Lord. Help us to seek your will, to seek your face in everything we do. God, we praise you and we thank you for everything you've done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.